You've heard of the Great Shark Pilgrimage in France, but did you know that 30 years ago, the traditional Catholics were actually locked out of the Shark Cathedral? He's cracking down on this, but he's evidently got no problem with this. Cardinal Blaise Supich, Pope Francis's boy wonder, goes all Al Capone on the traditional Catholics in the Windy City. Hugh Hewitt tells Tony Baloney it's time to step down, and this little angel has a special Christmas message for Pope Francis. All that and more tonight in the Remnant Underground.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Michael Matt. This is the Remnant Underground. Happy New Year to one and all. Cold out there tonight, eh, Walter?
It is cold.
I think we're going to be at about 10 below zero.
15 below, something like that.
Absolutely love it. Love it. Keeps the riffraff away, you know? That's what I like about it. Very happy New Year to all of you. And congratulations to everyone who, stayed sane in 2021. It's nice to stay sane in the course of a year like that, because let's face it, a lot of people didn't quite make it. Am I right? I mean...
That's a good point.
Did we even make it? I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon. Looks like Omicron is failing to live up to the hype.
In South Africa's capital city, Pretoria. Despite a surge of infection caused by the Omicron variant. Most people use masks and many people keep their distance. But very few are panicking. And that includes the city's doctors, who've spent the past 3 weeks dealing with Omicron.
COVID patients, do you expect them this afternoon?
I've already seen two COVID patients this morning.
Okay, right. Symptoms?
Mild. Yeah.
Okay, so those spikes they keep telling you about, those terrible case numbers of hundreds of thousands, we're all gonna die, you know what that means? I think that's a good thing. The more cases, the better. Okay, so you people out there in La La Land who are still hiding from your family on Christmas, the more cases of Omicron, the better. Because it's building natural immunity. You're not going to have to go through what some people went through with the Delta variant, which was no fun. And our heart goes out to people. Many people got very sick. Some people lost their lives right here in our own community. We have a man right now who's in really bad shape, just lost his brother yesterday to the Delta variant. Thank God the Omicron thing is not turning out to be like that. It didn't work out. It's going to help people not suffer so much and help us get through this quicker. So Tony Baloney, who's now, Fauci, what's he pushing 90, 85, something like that? He was wrong once again. Dr. Fauci, buddy, it's time to hang up the stethoscope.
I've lost confidence in the CDC and the FDA. And I actually believe a lot of Americans, a significant part of America, now have lost confidence in you, Dr. Fauci. Is there a point where you will say, I do more harm than good because people don't listen to me anymore, and step aside?
No. Absolutely, unequivocally, no.
Can you believe this guy? He couldn't grasp Hugh Hewitt's question. His question is just, if you could be convinced that you stepping down was going to save more lives, get more people vaccinated, would you do it? And what's his answer?
No way, you. Oh, you're an idiot, you.
And these megalomaniacs have the chutzpah to accuse us of being anti-science, fascist, and, well, racist, just for fun. They have an irrational medical dictatorship, inquisition, let's call it, going on. A real inquisition, by the way, not the phony one, not the fake news one in Spain from a few hundred years ago, but a real one that would make Torquemada blush. It's so incredible, so off the charts. Hugh Hewitt is absolutely right. And I say this with all compassion for people who don't know what to do right now. My own sister came down with COVID just today, New Year's Eve. We're concerned about her. She's 63 years old, whatever she is. You know, so if you could pray for her, that would be great. I'm not dismissing this. I'm saying what they're doing has been cataclysmic. Nobody knows anymore what the truth is. You know, people are suffering. And this buffoon, Fauci, wouldn't even think of stepping down now at 80-some years old. Why not? Why don't you retire, Tony? Everybody else does when they get to be as old as you are. You know, try to restore some confidence in this thing, but you're not. going to restore any confidence in this clown show, because from the beginning, this has been a clown show, and you're the head clown. See, that's how this works. That's why you won't step down, Dr. Fauci. Even football superstars have had enough.
If science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore, it's propaganda. What I don't understand is vaccinated people blaming non-vaccinated people because the vaccine that they took to avoid getting the virus didn't stop them from getting the virus.
Yep, that's a great point, Aaron. I know you're not even a Catholic. I don't know what you are, but you're still using your brain, and that's comforting. What are we all saying? I mean, we agree with this guy, Aaron Rodgers. What are we saying versus what we're being told from on high, this dictatorship? What we're saying, what I've said down here dozens of times, hey, you know what? If you want to get the vaccine, knock yourself out. I'm not telling you what to put in your body, so please don't tell me what to put in mine. Really simple sort of American stuff, isn't it? And our position is not at all authoritative or over the top or conspiracy theorizing or anything else. You know what? I survived COVID with what I call vitamin I, so I wouldn't get kicked off of YouTube. Hold on, YouTube guys. Hang on for a second. I'm gonna explain that comment, okay? I have no idea if vitamin I saved my life. Might have been just a mild case of COVID. You see, because I have to be honest, lots of people I know were not on vitamin I, and they also came through it swimmingly with flying colors like my family did. So I don't know. You know, we're saying you and your doctor should look at the options and the treatments exactly like Aaron Rodgers is saying, millions of other people are saying, and you need to decide for yourself. Not the federal government. Certainly not the guy sitting in the Oval Office, who's typically pretty clueless. And I don't care if it's Biden sitting in the Oval Office. I don't care if it's Trump. I don't care who it is who's sitting in the Oval Office right now. I don't care. My body, my choice. Mr. President, stay away from me. That's the position. Perfectly reasonable. So we conservatives, we patriotic Christians, in our case, traditional Catholics, we're not the fascists here. We've got a pretty reasonable position. And I've noticed this idea of excoriating those of us who are still using our brains, whether it's in the church or in the state, it's always met with the same response from these people. Dr. Fauci, if he would just pretend, or if he would just give some, just intimate in some way that he understands vaccine hesitancy, perhaps there wouldn't be so much of it. But it's the very act of pretending like he's never seen any of those videos, he's never seen any of that scary stuff floating all over the internet, that makes you think, what's he up to? And it's the same in the church, the same exact attitude, because it's the same globalist agenda. To repeat myself again, these are all the same people playing on the exact same team. They just wear different uniforms. So in the middle of this global pandemic, I'm trying to help people understand how bizarre it is, we've said before, that in the middle of all this chaos and this pandemic and sickness and death and the whole vax debate and all this stuff, here comes Pope Francis, just like Tony Fauci, the figure of an angry old fascist. My way or the highway! Both of them. That's how they are, aren't they? There's no compassion, there's no understanding, there's no love. Why not? Why is this totalitarian approach being taken when in both cases, either being faithful to the traditions of the Catholic Church or taking care of your own health, your best interests are what's at stake here. Ours, personally. You see? We should be the first one to want to do what's best for our bodies and for our souls. And yet they don't want to leave it up to us. They're going to tell us how to do that. Can you believe it? It's their way or the highway. You know, traditional Catholics, Pope Francis, you know, we have an eminently reasonable position. What's he doing right now? Now, he's not going after the State of Acontis. He's not going after the Society of St. Pius X. He's not even going after the Fraternity of St. Peter right now. What's he going after? He's going after diocesan priests who are saying the traditional Latin Mass. Why's he doing that? He's saying, well, it's disunifying. Now, think about this, friends. Even if you're not Catholic, you can imagine this. In the mainstream of the church, people are going to the old sacraments, the old Latin Mass. And who are they using? Who are their priests? Who are the celebrants of these Masses? Diocesan priests, mainstream people, mainstream guys. So what does that mean? The people that Francis is trying to get rid of are the ones who have gone out of their way to to make friends with diocesan priests who don't necessarily agree with them. We had to go knocking on doors. Could we have a traditional mass here, Father? Would that be okay? We've actually gone out of our ways, the people that Francis is targeting, to make friends in the church with people who don't necessarily agree with us, priests all over this country. Now, we don't go to the masses or the Novus Ordo masses of these priests, diocesan priests, and we tell them exactly why we don't, in charity and in love, but we've befriended them. We share parishes with them. We go to parish picnics with them. Novus Ordo people, I know where I go to Mass, traditional Mass, I've never been to the new Mass there, but when I go to the traditional Latin Mass, after Mass, the folks from the Novus coming in to go to Mass as I'm leaving, they're all like, man, we love your show. Remnant TV is awesome. They're all very decent folks, and we have great discussions with them. We just simply disagree liturgically, and we're coming closer all the time to a consensus even there. We want devotion. We want reverent liturgies. In our case, we're insisting on the traditional Latin Mass, and we have great conversations. But in other words, we're not just talking about unity. We're living it every day in our spiritual lives. So the question is, what's Francis talking about? Disunity? He's actually targeting the one place in the entire church where unity between traditionalists and non-traditionalists is being experimented on. That test is happening. And for the most part, it's working for the benefit of everybody. So Traditionis Custodis is based on one big, fat, whopping lie from the tyrant in Peter's chair. Francis, like Fauci, is calling everyone who disagrees with him a conspiracy nut in order to push the ideological agenda of globalism. You see what they're doing? You see the parallels here. Now, some of you friends, I'm going to be frank this week, because last week, last program that we did, yeah, the news was just new that there was just coming out that they were cracking down on the sacraments, that they were cracking down on the Latin Mass at Christmas time, kind of the final straw. They were really trying to tick us all off. That was obvious. I was a little ticked off in the last program. So some of you scolded me, saying, you know, you shouldn't speak about the Holy Father or to the Holy Father in that way. And I'm just going to be really honest, friends. You know, if you're looking for the pray and obey, guys, that's not here. You know, you're simply watching the wrong video channel. These guys, friends, these are bullies. And you know what they're counting on? They're counting on the good little Catholic school compliance, like from the Catholic school days. Just do whatever Father says. That's what they're counting on, but only for traditionalists. Nobody else gives a rat's keister. Nobody else is obeying these clowns. But as the good bullies that they are, they know they can pick on us, they can bully us around, and it has to stop. Down in Chicago right now, everybody's getting shot, but nobody's obeying Cardinal Blaise Lopech. You kidding me? For example, Francis's little boy wonder, Supich, possibly the dumbest cardinal in the church, which makes him a very, very vicious little bully, doesn't it? With perfect hair. Again, this is Christmas time. You don't have to be a Catholic to see the point. This ruthless little cardinal down in Chicago. Streets are dangerous. I drive through there all the time. You don't want to go through there at night. You don't want to even go through there in the evening. There's so much violence, bloodshed, death in that town, right?
That's when investigators say the passenger gets out and walks toward Park and then tries to rob or carjack him. When Park resists, the gunman opens fire, killing him. It's the third shooting since Friday in the far north side neighborhood area, prompting Chicago police to issue a community alert.
And there's the cardinal of the Catholic Church. Instead of doing anything to try to rein that, he's absolutely clueless. As far as a moral voice in the city of Chicago, nothing, got nothing. So what does he do? He's going to prohibit Latin masses on the first Sunday of every month. No more Latin masses on Christmas and on the Triduum and on Easter Sunday. He's prohibiting it. Can't have any Latin masses then. But then this little clown has absolutely no problem with the married, lesbian, pro-abort nutjob governor of Chicago being welcomed into the sanctuary with her wife by Chicago's most famous Catholic priest, Father Michael Flagler. So no more traditional Latin masses on Christmas or Easter in Chicago. But that's fine. And for that matter, so is this. Whatever that was, that's okay with Supich, because he's really busy cracking down on the real bad guys.
Our Lord needs shepherds. He needs priests.
These young men have left their families, their friends, their backgrounds, their worldly pursuits to follow our Lord Jesus in helping restore the sacred, not only in the life of the church, but in their own lives and in the families which we serve in our parishes.
They don't even realize what they're doing here. And this is where we're going to start the new year on a positive note. I know it's crazy. I know it's all nuts. But they don't understand, and this is their Achilles heel, the power that the persecution they're trying to unleash against people, against families, against children, against whole communities that are doing nothing wrong. They don't understand the power persecution has to make heroes out of average men. And we do. Now, we've all had enough of this. We're done with this. It's no more obey Father, do whatever Father says. Those days are long gone. They no longer have the right to command that sort of obedience when they are destroying the Catholic Church.
And again, Father gave you thanks and praise and blessed the cup and gave it to us and said, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and the lasting covenant. It is shed for you and for all people that sins may be forgiven. Do this and remember me.
And Francis and his Wonder Boys have no concept of what this means, of how far we will go, how long we will resist them, and how this crusade now that they're calling by through persecution, how this fires up whole generations, especially of young people. And that, friends, is the New Year's resolution from Remnant TV. We're going to war. We're going to win. We're going to get stronger and more united than ever, especially when on the other side of the battlefield is Jorge Mario Bergoglio and Blaise Lubitsch. This is a no-brainer. You see? Let me give you some examples, because I don't want this. I looked on Facebook. Somebody sent me a Facebook link the other day. There's some guy I haven't thought about in 5 years or whatever. Couple years. And he's over there just firing away at me still, because he doesn't like Unite the Clans, and he doesn't like, he thinks that we need to just go ahead and admit that Francis has got all this covered and that there's no point in fighting and we're done. So wouldn't that be a fun show? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but Francis, Pope Francis, has completely trounced us. He's destroyed us. There's no point in fighting back. Would you enjoy that program? Would you watch me next week? I doubt it. What's the point? The Catholic Church, the whole history of the Catholic Church entails good, faithful Catholics never giving up. It's the same for us. So I want to give you some examples of this. I'm not just talking wishful thinking here. This is absolutely true. I'm going to give you some evidence. We're going to provide evidence tonight on what happened in the past and why it is that we are going to emerge with God's help victorious from this ridiculous little purge from Francis. Okay. So I am the U.S. coordinator for something called Notre-Dame de Chrétienté, Our Lady of Christendom, which is a French organization that has organized the Chartres pilgrimage for the past 35 years. Now, I've walked that pilgrimage from Paris to Chartres on pilgrimage 29 times.
I come from St. Paul, Minnesota, in the United States. And this is my 23rd pilgrimage to Chartres. And obviously, I'm a big fan of Notre-Dame de Chrétienté for a lot of reasons, mostly because of what they're trying to do here with young people. They're trying to restore Catholic identity. And so we come to France because we feel like buried in the root, in the ground of France, is the Catholic faith. And we want to tap into that and bring it back home and make America Catholic again. So.
But here's the thing. Did you know that long before most Americans had ever even heard of the Chartres pilgrimage, we were locked out of the Cathedral of Notre Dame de Chartres. Did you know this? We stood in a little town square outside of the Chartres Cathedral, locked out of our own church. And that's where we celebrated the first traditional Latin Mass of the Chartres pilgrimage outside with only God's permission. And that was enough. Today, now, we're not locked out anymore. We're not locked out of the cathedrals. In fact, when we're not locked down by Francis's globalist friends, there are 20, 25,000 of us marching from Paris to Chartres each spring with pontifical Latin traditional, obviously high masses in both on both ends in both cathedrals. Are they going to take those away now, thanks to Francis? We'll see. Maybe they will. But then guess what? Then we just go from pilgrim to crusader. And look out, Francis, when that happens. You're turning pilgrims into crusaders. Another example. When my wife and I got married 173 years ago now, when we got married back in 1996, there was no traditional mass option for us. Now, there was no way we were going to get married in the Novus Ordo. So we fought hard, and I even came up with the idea of writing a letter to the bishop saying, well, I studied Latin in college, and so did my fiancé. We just think it would be so groovy to have a little Latin mass. Well, that didn't quite work. So we tried a bunch of several different approaches to try to get through, and we finally got the permission by God's grace. And so we had the first ever, because this is a fairly new church, the first ever traditional Latin nuptial mass in St. William's Catholic Church in Naples, Florida. Now, after that mass, in 1996, keep this in mind, the bishop said never again would there be another traditional Latin mass in his diocese. There was such a ruckus over this one. He said it will never happen again, never be another wedding, never be another Latin mass. Done. Not going to happen. Now, that, of course, turned out not to be true, because just last Christmas, for example, my wife and our kids and myself, we attended the traditional Latin mass in that very same church, St. William's Church in Naples. Only this time, it was being serviced by a priest of the fraternity of St. Peter. You see what I'm saying? Who would have ever thought in 1996 it was like never, ever going to happen again? And a lot of people would have said, well, that's it. They're not, that it's over. We got to just quit. We got to give up. The bishop literally said over my dead body in 1996, would there ever be another traditional sacrament of matrimony in Naples? He was wrong. Because this is not just a human thing. God is behind this movement. The Mass is of God. The Mass is from heaven. Francis can't stop this, you see? All you have to do is cooperate and keep fighting and never compromise, never back down, you see? Now, down in Southwest Florida, by the way, there are traditional Latin Mass parishes all over the place, including right in Naples. I think there are two in Naples and Sarasota, serviced by the Fraternity of St. Peter. So again, if you think I'm exaggerating, it's talking through my head, man, this is so bad. Traditionis custodes, help. We're done. Sorry, but you're being a bit wimpy. This has never been about the mass that we like or the mass that we prefer. This is war. And in every war, there are setbacks. There are battles that are won. There are battles that are lost. We just lost a battle with this guy Francis. That's all. I didn't lose the war. So I'm not exaggerating when I say it was worse then, back in those days, you know, than it is today, and that we should expect victory. That is absolutely true. It is not wishful thinking. We're much better off today. Just give you one little quick example. We didn't have back then. We didn't have the internet, for example. If we had the internet back in the 70s and the 80s to help us organize, I mean, Walter, you weren't alive yet, but I mean, you can imagine as a technician the difference that just that alone would make, you know, if we had the internet. Well, now we have the internet. We have the ability to organize. We have entire orders of priests, the Fraternity of St. Peter, for example. Do you think those young priests in the fraternity are going to suddenly just let their flocks down? They're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to make this happen no matter what happens to them. And so far, they still have the sacraments. They still have the Mass in the fraternity. Thanks be to God. So those orders of priests that are going to fight for this were not something that was around, priests that were trained just for the traditional Latin Mass. It's something we didn't have back then, but we have it now. So those should be encouraging signs for us. And I don't care, don't demand. Doug, that just showed you images of the priests from St. John Cantius. I don't know how they're going to handle this. It's up to them. We know they're more or less on our side, that they're good priests, or good and holy priests of St. John Cantius. How they're going to handle this obedience thing with Supich is up to them. We can be patient with this. We may need them for paperwork if you live in Chicago to have a baptism registered or whatever it might be. I don't know what it's going to be. But we have these options. We need to see what's going to happen with them, and we need to be patient and take each priest and each order of priests where they're at and continue to fight and move forward slowly. Now, let's go back again for another example from the past. Let's go back to 1982. Let Walter throw some pictures up on the screen. Very old pictures, photographs. Now, the bride in this picture is one of my seven sisters. Now, note the icons behind the bridal couple. Doesn't look particularly Latin Rite, does it? That's because it's not. My older sisters and brother were all married in the Eastern Rite when, for a time, my family left the Latin Rite and went underground with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters in the city of Minneapolis. So do you see that there's another option right there that you're not going to go along with it. You're not just going to say, okay, we're going Novus Ordo then. You're going to find your options, and the options are still there. And we have to find out where they are and make use of them. Look a little more closely then at this old photograph. The one priest is Monsignor Stephen Knapp, who is the Ukrainian Eastern Rite pastor at the time. The other is Father Harry Marchowski, who is the same priest who married my wife and me, by the way, down in Naples. He also introduced, by the way, Michael Davies to the Remnant Readers back in 1972. And the other is Monsignor, the third is Monsignor Arthur Duran, the priest who baptized me, by the way, and all my siblings, and who was thrown out of our neighborhood Latin Rite parish when the new mass came in back in the early 1970s in our neighborhood. So do you see what's happening here? A couple of Latin Rite priests joined up with an Eastern Rite priest who are marrying the Latin Rite kid, you know, young people in my family. This was going on all across the country, friends, for people who were resourceful, who never gave up. And we got to do it again. We were refugees in the Eastern Rite for a time. And then when we could, as I've explained down here before, we had the Latin Mass in our basements, at the basement chapels, the underground chapels, which looked like this. It's a bit like the old mass rocks in the woods. A little later on, one of my five daughters had to be secretly baptized. This would be in 1999. Secretly baptized by a kindly priest of the Society of St. Pius X, when for a time our sacraments were simply taken away from us for no reason at all, 1999. That happened. You were just making recourse to so many different things to get through this. All you knew for sure is that you weren't going to sell out. You weren't just going to go Novus. You were going to continue to fight for tradition no matter what, friends. And remember, all of this was going on during the reign of Pope John Paul the Great. I want you to think about that. I want that to sink in. Francis is an insignificant, petulant little child compared to John Paul, the multilingual, cosmopolitan, great-looking former actor and pretty astute modernist, let's be honest. But still, he had something going on. People loved that guy. They practically worshipped him, in fact. That was part of the problem. And yet still, the traditionalists just soldiered on. And now you're telling me that we got to give up because Bergoglio is calling the shots for the moment for no reason? He's alienating so many people. People are fed up with him, from Mike Matt at the Remnant all the way over to Raymond Arroyo at EWTN. You realize how big that constituency is? They're sick and tired of this guy. If we can't do something about this, if we can't remain steadfast and firm and fight back and make advances still, that's on us. Because this time we got the numbers. Francis's job now, like that of all fascist dictators, is to use his office and his power, his raw power, the strong arm of his power, to try to crush this traditional Catholic resistance, right? And conversely, at the same time, it's our job as faithful Catholics not to get all scatterbrained and freaked out and just give up. It's our job to hold the Catholic ground. The Catholic ground, by the way, as I've been explaining, that our fathers reclaimed for us 50 years ago. Just got to hold that and hopefully take a lot more over the course of the next 50 years. And Francis is sending his henchmen now to slaughter the holy innocents because he didn't succeed, because he's afraid, because there's too many of us still. He's afraid of the holy innocents, of the little children. He's afraid of the children and their candles and these images, for example, that were shot just this past Christmas in a traditional chapel. He's afraid of the image that's on your screen right now, the faith of children. In the face of all of that, Francis, all he has is bloodless, soulless, totalitarian, temporary, raw power, and that's not enough. And what is history if it's not one long saga chronicling power's defeat in the face of the faith of the little people? That's all it is, story after story, Von Day, Chris Darrells, we've gone over it so many times, where power fails in the end, and it will this time too. So yes, some of us are going to have to suffer now a little bit. Not as bad as they had to suffer back in the early 70s, I would argue, but you might have to suffer. Some of us might have to go flee to a different church in Egypt or into the desert or back down in the catacombs. I don't know. So be it. Some bishops may have to take to the woods again to ordain priests of tomorrow. I have a few in mind who might do that. Who knows? As things begin to get worse now. Maybe the sacraments will take place in the dead of night again, as happened so many times in history. Maybe 10-year-olds will have to be confirmed in secret when a traveling bishop suddenly is passing through town. What of it? I was 10 years old when Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre confirmed me in secret. Bishop Athanasius Schneider was 10 years old when he had to receive his first Holy Communion in secret under a ruthless communist atheist regime. Lots of folks have had to do extraordinary things to keep the faith in the past, and so will we. Now we're under a ruthless globalist regime. So what? It's just the devil working against the cross as he's always done. All we need to do is prepare for the battle. Prepare for the crusade. Arm up. Get ready. Man up. And go to war. Yeah, it's going to take more than prayer, friends. It's going to take more than prayer. Prayer without action is Lepanto's Holy League without the fleet. It doesn't work. We need to actively resist, fight, yes, pray, but we've been here before. We need to stay up for this fight as well. Remind each other what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future. This battlefield we suddenly find ourselves on is a place we're very familiar. We're very familiar with this. And our children will walk out onto that battlefield with us this time, and we're going to make it. We're going to make it. You want to know what it looks like? You want to know what these little warriors look like? Here's one. My sister sent me this. It's my niece's eldest daughter who spontaneously offered, in my opinion, what might be the best threat to the revolution of Francis that I've seen in a long time. Check this out, this little warrior. Ave Maria, gracia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu, Santa Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, I see that, friends. That's the thing. That's the thing for which Supich and Bergoglio have no answer. At the end of the day, what's going to happen here, and they know it, and we know it, we're even going to outbreed these revolutionaries. The future is ours on so many levels. That little girl is 6 years old. Francis is 85. Who do you think wins in the end? It's tradition and the old faith, friends, that matter most. That's why Francis and his Wonder Boys are trying to kill tradition and the old faith, the touchstone of which is the old mass. Don't you see? They are so threatened by this. They're so terrified by this. They're trying to crush it. And in so doing, they're alienating so many people who otherwise wouldn't have been paying any attention to this. This is why they're going to fail. With God's help and with the human just frustration with these bullies, they are going to fail. The crusade now, the crusade has been called. And we know what to do. You know what to do. I know what to do. We simply have to do it. So be of good cheer. Happy New Year. This is going to be an interesting year, but it's going to be a good year. And we're going to see victories that we never anticipated. They're coming our way in this new year. So stay up for it. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Happy New Year. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And we'll see you next week.